This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Glad you to be with us. Thanks for joining us here on SportsMap Radio. It is Wake Up Call. Coming up this hour, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also take a look at what a 17-week NFL schedule would look like. There's now more thought into it as it's likely coming this year, but there's going to be questions. So when would the season start? On time? Would it be a week earlier? How long would it go? Would there be an extra bye week? How would the extra game be determined, and what would that mean for the Super Bowl? We'll answer all those questions coming up in this hour. In case you missed it, but somehow I doubt you did, the Major League Baseball spring training schedule got underway yesterday. And the reason I kind of kid that you probably did know that happened is because there isn't a sport in America that celebrates its preseason like baseball. It has never been, there isn't anything close. Even as much as we love the NFL, we do not celebrate its preseason as much as baseball celebrates spring training. In fact, we almost look at it as kind of an annoyance, right, with preseason. We're like, yeah, we can't wait for the season to start. We get a little excited that there's football on TV, but in the end, it's you know, preseason, and you got to pay full price for these tickets. But spring training is a celebration of spring and baseball and everything for a lot of people around the country that are kind of mired in snow and cold and gray and dreariness as winter is still kind of etched into the fabric of the weather. You can look down at Florida and Arizona and see sun and grass and baseball and know that is coming your way. And there's no other sport that does that, right? I mean, no other sport celebrates the way it sort of comes. And I know a lot of people have written poetically about baseball. There's a lot of sort of, you know, nostalgic feelings that comes when you get to spring training. But it is still there. I mean, for especially for those of you who did grow up or live in cold weather climates, if you're in a baseball town, like I grew up in New England, the truck leaving Fenway Park to go down to Florida was something that the helicopters in Boston would fly over and monitor as it made its way to the interstate. That's the feeling. It's not just about baseball. It's not just about getting that sport back. It is a realization that better weather is coming and spring is around the corner, and that's what it all means. And it came around yesterday as Major League Baseball got Cactus League and Grapefruit League action going. Good, the bad, and the dumb next. Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. And I missed the last 3 days last week, so I can't wait to get the good, bad, and dumb of the day. Let's start with the good, Ron Culver.
Barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce it is.
Yep. If you didn't catch it yesterday, and I didn't, so I had to wake up to the good news that I saw. Jason Sudeikis won Best Actor in a Comedy for the Golden Globes.
Absolutely fantastic.
For Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso is amazing.
It's absolutely incredible, and I'm so glad that he won because I really do believe this will go down as one more of the iconic characters we have in television.
I love it.
I don't know why.
I know we've talked about Ted Lasso, but for those of you who didn't hear us, I was reluctant to watch it. I kind of thought the jokes would be predictable. I was 100% wrong. It's well written, well acted, a lot of depth to the characters. This isn't slapstick frat humor of a football coach who doesn't know soccer. There's a lot more depth to the story.
Yep.
It's really funny and it's really poignant. It'll make you weep a little bit. It'll make you laugh a lot. It's really well done. Really, really well done.
I think the biggest compliment, it's one of the more relaxing shows I think I've ever watched.
Exactly. And I mean, there's conflict, but it's not overbearing. Like you don't feel there's it's not negative. It's like there's some conflict that gets resolved, but still it's excellent. It's just really excellent.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you want to be Ted Lasso. Like,
no,
it makes you go, how do I be that person?
Or
like,
if you're an athlete, that's who you want as a coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have been coached by Ted Lasso.
Right.
I think that would have just been so much fun.
Even though
he doesn't know a lick of what he's coaching. He knows how to coach people. And that's the beauty of it.
And Jason Sudeikis did a great job. Really great job.
Fantastic.
Character. So I'm glad he won.
Yeah. But I brought that up because he deserves it, but I wanted to highlight one of the things that happened last week. And it was a bat of the day. Nicole Auerbach, who is a friend of the show, Graham.
Yes.
She tweeted out this photo. She got a Ted Lasso care package or a Ted Lasso swag box, if you will, a swag kit. I don't even know what you want to call it. I need one desperately.
How did she get that?
I have no idea.
Can we ask her that? Or is
that's what I want to know.
Too personal of a question?
No, I want to know because I want to ask someone of it because yes. I need one.
Is it possible they sell them? Somebody knew how to get one and send it to her, or do you think she got it from the production team?
I don't think they sell this. I mean, it comes with a jersey, an AFC Richmond jersey.
Oh, please! I absolutely need to have one. Click on
the photo.
Yeah, I did. It's amazing.
You need that. I'll take the mug, but if you notice in the bottom right corner, there's that little pink box. Biscuits.
Yeah, let's see. Biscuits. My goodness.
Biscuits.
How in the world she get this?
Yeah, it does come with tea, which we know Ted Lasso won't drink, and probably right. I wouldn't either. I'm not a big tea guy.
How did she get this?
I don't know. That's why it was bad, because this photo just rooted, it just put me in jealousy mode. Like, I am extremely jealous.
Does she?
I need that little believe sign.
Did she write something about it, or did they just get, here, take this gift?
I know. Did she interview someone? We'll interview anybody.
I know.
They're in our time frame.
Shame.
They're over in England.
I'm good. Remember one time I was on the air in Colorado Springs, and I mentioned how much I love Dippin' Dots, and they brought me containers of Dippin' Dots. I was like, I didn't know if I was allowed to eat them. I was new, and I was kind of green to that whole thing, and I was kind of nervous I was going to get in trouble. But my boss was like, nah, eat them up. They're good. Everybody, go ahead and take them. So maybe she wrote something, and they were like, we like her. Let's give her a gift box.
See, I've seen other sports writers get one. These are our colleagues. These are our people. We're the same person as them. Why can't we? We talk about Ted Lasso.
We've been talking about Ted Lasso, how great it is. Why can't we get some swag?
Exactly.
Like, why can't we get some Ted Lasso merchandise?
I'm all in on it. I can't wait. Season 2, I think it's coming out in August.
Great.
You know, I think you and I both, we admit we were a little late to the game. You know, I know I started it about a month earlier than you.
Yeah, I was really reluctant to watch it.
Yeah, but we were late to the game. But we will not be late for season 2.
No, I will totally watch
it. I can't wait. I'm one of these guys now. I'm hoping it's not dropped all at one time.
I kind of like
the spaced out, you know, like what Disney Plus, I'm going to say Disney Plus started, because I don't know if anyone else did this, but, you know, just releasing one episode at a time each week,
you can lose a whole weekend when it drops
easily.
At once. Like, I mean, that's what I did with this. When I watched the first one, I was like, that's it. I'm not doing anything today. I'll be watching this show all the way through. I mean, I was obsessed.
Just a couple of weekends ago, I finally got my wife to watch it, and, you know, we did 10 episodes in 2 nights.
Amazing.
Blink of an eye. I mean, they're so easy to watch. It's fun.
They're really easy to watch, and it's really well written. All right. So,
good job, Jason Sudeikis.
Very good job. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and we've talked about this before, how we're just becoming numb to this, but an American Airlines pilot saw an alien flying over its plane over New Mexico, and we as a society just don't even care anymore.
We don't. When did we make the transition?
I don't know.
When did we go, this is the biggest thing that will ever happen in our lifetime too? Now we're like, yeah, it happens every day.
He literally gets on, you can hear him on the radio saying, yeah, I just saw, he was trying to get in contact with the nearby tower, I guess, or somebody, I don't know who he's getting in contact with, someone in the FAA. And he goes, yeah, I just saw a silver object fly over our plane and then just took off. I just wanted to make sure there was no ballistic missiles in the area. I mean, first of all, that scares me.
He calmly said that.
Yeah, that scared me.
He calmly wondered just to make sure there was no ballistic missiles
in the
flying
area
around his aircraft.
Yeah, I kind of grazed over that part when I was reading the story, and then as I said it, I'm like, you know what? That would scare a zebra stripe in
there
my shorts.
There is another. They are another level of calm.
Yes, they are.
Every time they have to be drunk
all the time.
Every time I've heard like black box recordings, but even of ones like Survive. Like, they're just like, and switch over to engine four. And while the plane is plummeting to the ground, and just stabilize at 9,000, I would be screaming. I'd be an embarrassment to the airline pilot. All of you out there who are airline pilots, God bless you for your stability emotionally in those situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to check. Is a ballistic missile flying around our aircraft? Just checking.
But this is just another instance where it's like, I saw a UFO.
When do you think?
It's not even like page one on any news anywhere.
No, not at all. When do you think it's hard to pinpoint, but within 10 years, 5 years, when we go, that's it. It's aliens. We're 100%
I think we're already
sure.
there, aren't we? I mean, when the Navy released videotape of fighter jets tracking this object, like hovering above the ocean, flying at like ungodly speeds that we're not
like
even used to.
2,000 miles an hour something they were saying. It was crazy.
They pretty much came out and said this is they're taking the term directly now, UFO. Yeah, it's an unidentified flying object. We don't know what it is.
Can we change the lingo? Because you're right. UFO always stood for unidentified. Doesn't mean it's alien.
Could be
it
anything.
Just means it's identified. Can we change the lingo so that when the Navy goes, that's an alien spacecraft from another galaxy, let's create a term that means that.
Yes.
Rather than something we could identify later, but we're not now, but we could, and it would make sense. Let's change the vocabulary to something that goes, yeah, they're here to see us.
They're just from another place. They're visiting. They're checking us out. Maybe
nuts.
They're here to help us. I don't know.
Maybe.
But
it's
just
eat us. Either one.
Well, that too. But it just blows my mind. I mean, if we go back to when, 20 years ago, this is front page news, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every news station around the world would be talking about this pilot saying, yeah, I saw a silver object, an elongated silver object flying over our plane.
Well, the crazy thing is when we were kids growing up and we would read these little things about like some farmer in the middle of Nebraska always nobody around, no photographs, no video. Now, of course, everybody's got something, and now we're seeing things, and now we're seeing cameras, we're seeing video, we're seeing pictures, we're seeing things that don't make sense to us. So it is a totally different way of processing how the
door camera picked up something.
Right, exactly.
We're seeing that, but we're like, whatever. I guess, right. I mean, as a society, we're all just accepting, like, yeah, aliens are here.
The dumb of the day.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't even know how to do this. This is a guy's secret life. I can't even fathom this secret life yet.
Secret life. Secret life. What he does, he's a teacher by day and this by night, or he's
kind
a worker by day, this by
he's
night?
He was a former police chief. I can only assume why he lost his job, because he probably needed a whole lot more money than what a police chief can make. And I imagine that a police chief can make a whole lot of money. But this guy's secret life finally caught up with him. After juggling two wives, three fiancés, and 15 girlfriends.
Oh, he's one of those people.
He's one of those people.
Right. Can't say no. I'm in it. Yeah.
He got caught by he was a former police chief in a town in Texas. He got caught by the Texas Rangers, not the baseball team. Walker, Chuck Norris, Texas Rangers.
Right.
Because he had sent a fake annulment to I don't know if it was one of his fiancés or girlfriends. I'm sorry. I couldn't keep up. A fake annulment, because she found out that he was married, but he was like, no, I'm not married. Here's a fake. So he forged a government document, and that's why he got in trouble.
Man.
And he's out on $10,000 bail.
How did he keep up with all of this?
That's the part I can't fathom. Because, I mean, he has like kids with a lot of these people, too.
Oh, my gosh.
So
he's got children all over the place?
Yeah. So, I mean, two wives, three fiancés, and 15 girlfriends.
Three wives.
And here's the thing. None of them knew about each other.
So he would just disappear and go visit the other two wives? Like, forget the girlfriends for a second. Just the three wives. He would just disappear and be like, I'm on a business trip. Go visit the other two and then come back? Was he just rotating like a third of his year or whatever?
I mean,
how did he handle this? Doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
And now my brain is exploding with all of the logistics that don't make any sense for this.
I that's why I can't. I have trouble struggling if you have two families.
Right.
right? I can't imagine how you're doing two families at one time. You're married to two people. Are they in the same town or are they in different states? Are you just sit there and let them know, yes, I'm George Clooney from that one. I can't remember what that movie was called. Remember, he was like a businessman trying to get like, you know, the platinum.
Oh, yeah. Up in the air.
Up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, are you that guy where you're just, I mean, he has to be that guy to afford stuff. But I mean, that gives you the perfect excuse of, you know, I'm on the road, you know, 200 some odd days out of the year. Never around.
That is crazy.
But I mean, I have trouble doing that with, like, you know, figuring out somebody with two families.
Right.
How did he handle Christmas or most recently Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Oh, these women must be livid. Absolutely livid.
I mean, yeah, just the fact that none of them, I mean, sure, maybe one girlfriend knows about a wife or something. I can get that. But none of them knew about each other. And this downfall was because one of them found out that he was married. And I'm certain he just showed up one day and was like, you know, you got a tan line around your wedding ring finger.
When my wife sends me out to the store, if I don't come back within a reasonable amount of time, she goes, where did you go?
Yes.
like it should take you about 10 minutes to get to the store and back. You were gone for 25. Did you sit at one of the fast food establishments and have an early breakfast Whopper?
Did you, I just sent you to the store to get butter. What'd you do? Got caught. I was looking over in electronics.
Right.
Thinking
exactly.
I should buy this something that we don't need.
All right. That's the good, the bad, the dumb. All right. Coming up, the 17-week schedule in the NFL could be interesting, to say the least. We'll have that next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so we know that there is a plan in place, thanks to the new CBA, that 17 NFL games could be on the schedule in 2021. In fact, it's probably more than likely that it will be. All right, so naturally, you could just go, great, I get an extra game. I'm a fan, I want more football, and I get an extra game. Well, there are some logistics here, so let's go over them. And I think some of these are pretty beneficial. For example, does the season get extended 1 week or do we start the season earlier? Well, it looks like the season is going to be staying the same. They don't want to start the traditional college football weekend of Labor Day. They want to be away from that. So it looks like the NFL will continue to play at its normal time the week afterwards, starting on that Thursday after Labor Day and just moving forward. So there'll now be 18 weekends built into the schedule. And the reason I'm saying 18 is because there will not be a second bye week for NFL teams. That was one of the things that was people were wondering. Well, if you play an extra game, will you get an extra week off? Will we do 17 games in 19 weeks, and thus pushing the schedule further back, further up this calendar, if you will? They're not going to do that. Everybody's going to get one bye week. The Super Bowl, and this is where it's interesting, Ron, the Super Bowl can now be scheduled around the middle of February, which is actually a benefit to those of us who want to extend it a little bit. I actually like this.
Can I ask one other thing, too?
Yes.
If we're going to extend it to the middle of February because y'all willy-nilly, like it's not a big deal, can we put it on a Saturday?
Not bad idea, although I doubt they'll do it.
No, I know.
Not a bad idea.
I just, you know, or if you're going to go middle of February, then do it President's Weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually not – that could actually occur because they're talking about the Super Bowl in L.A. next year being on the 13th.
Yeah. I mean, it might get in the way of Valentine's Day, but, hey, you know, whatever.
Whatever. Valentine's Day.
It's a made-up holiday anyways.
Please. Yeah. Oh, man, God. Can you imagine if those two fall on the same day? Oh, God.
It would have this year.
I know. It would have. You're totally right. You're totally right. It would have totally fallen on this year. But that's where we're at right now. So it looks like, good look, February we know is kind of a dead sports month. Things aren't really ramping up with all the, you know, the NBA, NHL is still in regular season mode. College basketball is still hanging around its regular season until it gets really kick-started in late February, early March. So February is kind of a dead month. This could, you know, extend football into the middle of the month, which I think would be great. I think that would be great. Now, the other question is, okay, we know that the way the NFL does its 16-game schedule is rather simplistic. It's kind of neat. There's a formula to it. You can know your opponents well in advance because of the way your conference plays another conference, division plays another division, where you finish, you know, all of the formulas that get you the schedule. So where would the extra game come from? So follow me here because Peter King laid this out, but it's a little confusing. I'm going to try to simplify it as best I can. So your extra game in 2021, if we do indeed go to a 17-week schedule, will be conference versus conference. Okay, so the same kind of thing based on where you finished to where they finished. Very similar to the way they give you those extra two games, in the 16-week schedule. So if you're in the AFC North and you play the AFC East, you'll also play where you finished in the other two divisions in the AFC. Now you're going to throw another one in a rotating division in the NFC. So you'll play an NFC division, all four teams. Then you'll be assigned another division in the opposing conference. And then you will play the team that finished where you finished in that division. Does that make sense? Did I say it right? Because it's not confusing, but there's a lot of variables there. So, for example, Kansas City finished first in the AFC West. Let's say that their second NFC division is the NFC North. They would play Green Bay if that was the case, right? That would be where they landed. So that's you can sort of finish it up that way. But also, there's another element to this 17-week schedule. I mean, there's a whole bunch of these things that I think are beneficial. One other thing that's being discussed is a possibility of a wild card football game being played on Monday night. So remember last year we got 3-3 during wild card weekend?
Yeah.
Now they're talking about playing maybe 2-3 and then one on Monday.
Okay.
Now the league, you know, is expecting the union to say, wait, that short week, playoffs, et cetera. But,
yeah,
you
is
know,
that fair?
Yeah, is that fair?
I already hear the naysayers poo-pooing right on that one.
Yeah, exactly. But that's likely to be on the table in discussions. So, again, my overriding point is when we've discussed 17 weeks in the NFL, it has always just kind of been, well, you get an extra game. But these are the elements that are also in play by just adding that extra game, right? An extension of the season through mid-February with the Super Bowl, the possibility of a Monday Night Football wild card playoff game. The way that you're going to get that extra game could be really cool. I mean, you would have Kansas City playing a top team in the NFC outside of its own, you know, the division that's going to schedule to play anyway. These could be really good matchups, really, really good matchups. And then obviously just the full extension of the season. So I think there's a lot to sort of chew on with this. I'm kind of leaning towards most of these being a benefit to the fans. I'm glad it's not starting Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend's kind of a mess anyway. And with there's so much college football, like college football that weekend is like Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. There's even I think a Friday game. It's like there's Saturday games. There's Sunday. They play Monday night too. It's like the whole weekend is filled with college football from, I think, Thursday all the way through to Monday night when we're all getting ready to go back to work.
Real. I mean, it's smart for the NFL. They got to know too. Like, you know, Labor Day weekend, people are on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to get the eyes that you really want.
No. Look, we all do our Labor Day thing, whatever it may be, and then we go back to work, and then that Thursday we got NFL. That's when you start it. But don't, and by the way,
it makes it easier to go back to work too.
And I'm totally liking the idea of extending the football, like the Super Bowl being in the middle of it. I like the President's idea, President's weekend idea, and I also just like the fact that it's extended that far. All right, coming up next, the passing of Irv Cross, what it means to me and a lot of you out there. Next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver Here's Tony D.
All right, earn a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature. Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. I was sad yesterday to hear Irv Cross passed away. Former Philadelphia Eagle, he was a Pro Bowl football player, but many of you probably remember him, if you're kind of old enough, to remember him when he was on NFL Today with CBS back in the day. This was the premier football show of my youth. When I think back as to why I loved the NFL, how I followed the NFL, how I got my news about this league at a time, you know, pre-internet, obviously, and just kind of the newspaper, and even pre-ESPN, NFL Today was the show I could not miss every single Sunday. It was Brent Musburger, it was Irv Cross, it was Jimmy the Greek, it was Phyllis George. I mean, talking early 80s, and they were brilliant. I mean, it was a brilliant show. And Irv Cross was a part of it, and he was one of the best analysts at the time. And you could make the case he's one of the best analysts in all of broadcasting. He's on that high list. He was really good. You know, Brent ran the show, and Phyllis George added some flavor to it. Jimmy the Greek added the betting angle. But Irv Cross gave you the analysis. He gave you the player perspective, the team perspective, the kind of stuff that he knew playing in the league. And it really blended well together. We sort of take those kind of shows for granted because the formula has already been written. And you sort of follow the basic formula and you tweak it. You adjust it based on your personality. But the groundwork was already laid. This was the groundwork. What those guys did was the precursor for all of what you see nowadays and how it works nowadays. When you see Terry and Jimmy and Howie and Yuckin, all of that was because NFL Today really put together the best football show of its time, and Irv Cross was a part of it. I was really sad because, I'm getting to an age now where some of the people that I loved as a kid are starting to pass away, and this was one of them. It was sad because I really loved that group. Brent Musburger to me was, you know, I know he had his detractors and whatnot, but I loved Brent Musburger. I know as he's gotten older, like there were some things, you know, remember when he talked about AJ McCarron's girlfriend and, you know, in the game, but I always thought he had one of the better careers because of everything he saw and did. Not only was he great on the NFL Today Show when I was younger, he would do the pregame for the NBA back in the day with when Dick Stockton and Tommy Heinsohn used to do the CBS games. And it was always, you know, Lakers in the playoffs and the Celtics in the playoffs and whatnot. And Brent Musburger always built the energy, and that was always his thing. And he also called the Doug Flutie game. He was also on the mic for the Doug Flutie to Gerard Phelan game back in 84. So he's had a remarkable career, very similar to Al Michaels in that he came at a time where somebody like that could be in a lot of different places and see a lot of different important sports things. But he was on this very important television show as the NFL was really starting to make headway as to becoming America's sport and taking it kind of away from baseball. This was a fantastic show. And think about it. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to do the it was better in my day type of thing, but it was the only way at the time when I was young, it was the only way I got that information. Like my local newspaper in Concord, New Hampshire didn't really carry, you know, a league newsletter, you know, covered the Patriots as best it could. And it would be the transactions that you would get from teams, but it didn't give you an in-depth, like there was no columnist writing about what was going on with the Rams, right? We didn't have that. So the only way I could digest so much NFL information was shows like that Irv Cross was on. And of course, as you got older and there was more and more and more, it was, you could obviously take it in as cable came through. I remember once when I must have been 12, maybe even younger than that. There was a show on from Las Vegas, and I didn't know, I just wanted, because they talked football, and I didn't know, but they were talking about betting. You know, they were talking about betting lines and point spreads, and it was a show that was basically a bunch of handicappers, and they were talking about the game, but they were talking about the game in a different way, right? You know, when you hear people talk about gambling and the way they talk about, it's kind of two different pieces of information. And I didn't know. I just watched it. And it was hosted by a guy, and he would go to the different handicappers, and they would all do their little pitch, right? You know, my 1-800 number, call me right now. My lock of the day, I've got Seattle against Atlanta. You don't want to miss it. And then they would talk about some of the matchups coming up this weekend, give you a little hint, but just a taste enough for you to obviously call the numbers. And I'm young, and I don't really get it, but I think it's kind of fascinating. And I started watching it. It was on USA Network, and I started watching it week in and week out. And little did I know that in my career, I would end up working in radio with the guy that was the host of that show. And I got to spend a lot of time with him, talk to him. His name was Lee Pete, and he ran that show. And when I moved to Vegas, I got to meet Lee and worked a lot with him. And he was an encyclopedia of Vegas, right? He was one of those guys, old timers that had been there for a long, long time, knew the gangsters, knew the mob people, knew like pretty much anybody that was coming through Las Vegas. And I remember telling him, I watched that show when I was a kid. I said, I didn't understand anything about it, but I remember watching it. That's how much I wanted to eat up news about the NFL. And the NFL today was fantastic. I can still hear the music in the background. So rest in peace, Irv Cross. And again, he was a Pro Bowl player for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the time. It is pretty remarkable. I mean, are you old enough to kind of go back to a time where you didn't know the score until they told you at halftime?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Or the only way you saw highlights was the halftime show.
Yeah, that was it. Like it's really to tell younger people that. How much torture was that when you didn't get your game on your local market? And the only way you could know if your team was leading or winning was wait till halftime at the end of the game. They didn't do a ticker. This is going way back because they finally started doing the ticker. The 10-minute ticker, I remember it was called, I think NBC was the first to do it. That was torture. Like I didn't get a lot of Steelers games on a Sunday afternoon when I was a kid. You know, the Patriots were kind of the team. But my God, it would be like, are they winning? I have no idea.
Right.
I have to wait till halftime until Brent or Bryant Gumbel tells me if my team is leading or winning or won the game. And you're right. That's one of the reasons Cosell's highlight packages were so popular. It's the only way to get them.
Yeah.
It's the only way to see Earl Campbell running the football for the Oilers.
I mean, I don't really remember ever watching ESPN when it first came out. I don't remember there being like highlight reels because I don't even know if I had it, to be honest with you, when I was a kid.
I know we had
HBO, but I don't think I watched it for the highlight reels and stuff like that. So the only way I could get my highlights of the weekend was halftime at Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's right. I remember ESPN when I first watched it, mid-80s, they used to do a business show in the morning. Like it was some sort of like financial show or something. It wasn't even really sports. And then they got rid of that and they were like, forget it, we should just be showing what we had last night. Show it in the morning. But yeah, it was, think about the job that those guys had back then. I mean, they were dealing, they were giving you information and they weren't. It's not like, I'm not going to say they weren't competing. That's kind of the wrong way to do it. But you think about today with Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, anybody that's doing the NFL media, they have to be so fast and so quick. But back then you had some time for something to sort of develop some legs. You had some time to sort of process, okay, there's this person's being fired and, you know, whatever the news of the NFL was, it allowed you to sort of kind of let that story breathe a little bit before you brought it to a show like that. Something could happen on a Tuesday and Brent Irv and Jimmy the Greek and Phyllis George and their producers could process all that, do a package on it and say, this is what's going on in the Browns camp, right? This is what's happening with the Bengals, right? This injury occurred on a Wednesday in practice and this is what it's like. Now everything has to sort of be packaged really quick. We kind of live in that age now, but they had to do all of that and set it up in a way that you might be hearing that for the first time. On a Sunday, something that happened in training camp or practice on a Tuesday in a market that's 2,000 miles away from you. You know, you may not live in an area where that was going to be in the local paper or even make your local news. Like Bob Lobel, where I was growing up in Boston, why would he tell you that the starting safety for the San Diego Chargers suffered a broken leg in practice? Unless they were playing the Patriots. But if they weren't playing the Patriots, he was very likely not to say a thing. And that was the only way you got that kind of information. So a lot of people are kind of doing that. You see it on Twitter. You've been seeing it like with people just saying, look, this is what, you know, Irv Cross and that show meant. I'm in that same boat. It was kind of an important show. It was instrumental in my developing a love for the NFL. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life, Rocket can. Michael on Twitter, I'm a soccer guy, so this has my interest peaked. Thanks for the recommendation, talking about Ted Lasso, which we've been telling many of you to watch.
Just get out and watch it.
Just go watch it. It's great.
Trust us. You won't regret it.
You know, I knew it was good, and I reconsidered it when my sister told me it was good. My sister is not a sports person at all. And I don't know how she discovered it. I don't know why she would even watch something like that. I don't even know why she would be interested. But I guess somewhere through the grapevine of her inner circle, they told her to watch it. So she reached out to me and said, you need to watch Ted Lasso. And I said, I don't know.
Now, you know what it reminds me of? Because I used to say this a lot about Jerry Maguire. I always said Jerry Maguire was the perfect date movie.
Yeah, that's a good date
movie. Yeah. Because for the guys' aspects, there's sports. There's that world of sports, the sports agency that we don't really know about. You know, like what an agent has to go through. There's backstabbing that goes on. I mean, we kind of figure all that stuff, but it was our first look into it. For women... It was literally just a romantic comedy.
Sure.
I guess a romantic drama. I don't know.
Rocky was a boxing movie, but it was a love story.
You know, and that's kind of what Ted Lasso is. It's not really about soccer. I mean, soccer is there, but it's literally about all the characters. And soccer is kind of like the engine that just keeps everything going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
But, I mean, it's all about the characters of the show, and you – like almost instantaneously fall in love with it. I will say that the first episode though is the hardest one to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Just because you're getting to know everybody. You don't know everyone's story yet.
Right. Once the characters develop and then they're all intertwined, that's when you really see it, kick up a notch.
And then it just takes off. And then it's easy. And that's why I think season two will probably be better than season one, because we already know everything going in. Like we know what these guys are, who these guys are.
Yeah. It's been such a weird I was talking to my wife about this. I still haven't gotten over the fact that I'm not going to the movies.
Yeah. Like, my son had a baseball tournament this weekend. We drove by this huge, that had to be like a 30 theater complex, AMC. And we drove by, it was middle of the afternoon on Saturday. I want to say like around 3-4 o'clock on a Saturday. Parking lot completely empty.
Yeah, it's still something I haven't. Listen, I think a lot of it is because, when the pandemic started, I wasn't going out to eat. Now all my restaurants are open. I wasn't going to the store. Now all my stores are open, right? Everything seems to be coming back to normal. Wear a mask, social distance, all of that stuff. But the theaters haven't. The one in my town hasn't really popped. I mean, they'll be open, but then closed and closed during the week and maybe open on Friday nights. And the movies that are coming out aren't really that fantastic. I haven't really had a desire to run and race to see how I can watch some of these. And so that's, for me, if I get a good recommendation on a show or a series or whatever, I usually go, all right, well, cool. Cause I'm not going out and doing anything else. I'm not going out to the movie theater. So now, I might as well watch it now.
Now what, why go out to the movie theaters? I mean, now they're going to just, all the studios are just releasing the film, either on HBO Max or it's just coming on demand. For us, it's like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend $20 and that's it. Popcorn's a lot cheaper at our place than it is at the movie theater.
I did this. I was doing this thing where I was talking about The Last Dance and whether or not, like, if you rewatch it, does it hold up? Because remember when we watched it in April, how it carried it? There was so much like, we're trapped. We have nothing else going on. There's no sports.
It
so
was all
when
the
we
nostalgia
watched it,
too.
It was all we had, right? We had nostalgia. It was sports in a sportsless world at the time. And it was very, very compelling, even though there were some flaws in how it was presenting the information without getting the full side of the story.
A little one-sided.
But yeah, a little one-sided. But I did. I haven't seen all 10 episodes again, but I have seen, like, I'll just throw it on because it's on Netflix and I'll just have it on and I'll run an episode or two while I'm doing some other stuff. And it holds up. It still holds up about a year later as very compelling and very interesting and still carries a lot of weight. It still has a nostalgic feel. There were things I missed that I'm watching again, like, oh, that's, you know, kind of forgot about that. But some of those don't, because some of those get caught up in the moment where, like, you're, you know, like, I keep wondering about our fascination with Tiger King. Would it have been fascinating if we had everything else in our lives? Like, would we have been gripped as a nation by these characters? Maybe, maybe not, you know, but the pandemic and the trappedness that we felt in March and April of last year allowed that to happen. The Last Dance is completely similar. We had nowhere else to go and nothing else to consume sports-wise. Then they give us this 10-part thing, and I was racing to it every Sunday and Monday. Like, I couldn't get enough of that documentary. And I just rewatching it again, it holds up pretty well. Ted Lasso, it holds up really, really well. I mean, it's that good. I'm glad it won. I'm glad it's getting the praise. I'm glad season two is coming up because it's excellent. All right, Jake Asman Show coming up next. Thanks for joining us on Sports Map Radio. I am so glad to be back. Once again, thanks to Denton Day and John Stashower for filling in for me last week. We will see you tomorrow right here on Sports Map Radio Network. Have a great day.